Okay, if you have your Bibles and want to look, boy, we are going through a lot of text today. Not. Today is our very last week in James, and it's one sentence. And you might think, well, there's no final grand benediction in James. Some, you know, grace to you, take this amazing grace. No, James has this one sentence, just these two verses. Here it is. My brothers, he means brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death, will cover a multitude of sins. Final words of James. There they are. Man, like everything else in this book, very misunderstood. It's not taken as a wonder. I love James because if you can see what he's doing, and my heart today is that you would, and that you would walk away from James like money in your pocket, that you know something amazing and the wonder of what he's done. It's a great gift for your life on earth to rest in the wonder of the gospel for you, to be freed from the self-righteous approach even to Christianity. So prevalent. Of course, if you can't do that, you're going to double down on stupid. You are. One of the most famous towers in Italy. In fact, if I said, hey, you guys, name a tower in Italy, most of you would say, oh yeah, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I got to watch out. I say pizza. It's not pizza, but you know, it's this tower and it kind of goes sideways. In all the towers anywhere, if I would say, wow, there, that tower's leaning, you could take that as, we better fix that. We better make it straight. Tear it down and make it right. Or you could take it as, whoa, that's kind of a wonder. How amazing that it still stands. People all over the world don't know any of the towers that are straight. They know the one that's leaning. That's James. People don't understand law and gospel. They don't work through the message. They don't get. He's a great prodigal in the gospel accounts. He's casting aspersions. That means like stones. He's not believing his half-brother Jesus. He's self-righteously threw Jesus under the bus in the gospel accounts, but he came to embrace him, humbled as his only hope. And so today I hope with confidence, joy, getting this message of James, the whole book. So you'll never allow someone to rob you of the settled wonder of the trust you have, how that works out in your life. So I want to take this final sentence, walk through, think through why James closes with this. It is about being useful. So let's take, and we'll take it a little bit at a time. We're going to start with the first piece of it. Did I get ahead of myself? I don't like that. Okay, I went too far. We are useful. There's the sentence. And look at the first part of it. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, someone brings him back. So he's talking to people in the church, right? I just want to make sure that we set the frame rightly. He's not talking about evangelism per se. He's talking to his brothers and sisters who are in the church, and he says, if one of you wanders from the truth, well, what's that? What does it mean to wander from the truth? It's so broad that people use it for whatever they want. A lot, right? I mean, come on. If someone thinks the earth is flat, and you help them see it's actually round, you've brought them back from wandering from the truth. Or perhaps, you know, a political point. Hey, if you wander into thinking that communism is good, and then I pull you back and show you the difficulties of communism, I have brought you back from wandering from the truth. Or some doctrinal point. You know, if anyone starts to disagree with your position on tongues and you bring them around, whoo, good for you. No, no. James this whole time has been around faith and our actions, our works around faith. So it's more tempting then, more common maybe, to think of wandering from the truth is backsliding into sin, right? That's how I have initially I want to take this, you know. It's super common. You know, if anyone among you wanders into behavioral sin, you know, sin you can see, and you turn him back. Dude, I like that. It has this flavor of, you know, maybe you could lose your salvation if you sin a lot. So if we could just stop you from sinning, then things would be okay, and then things would be restored, and you would be back to your shiny no-sin state. Except even when you look at the actual verses, that can't be what he's talking about, right? I mean, walk it through with me if he says it that way. If anyone among you wanders into visible behavioral sin and someone turns him back, if I just try and make that fit, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering, okay, he stops sinning, will save his soul from death. I could kind of go there. Okay. And will cover a multitude of sins. You do see the problem, right? Like, that's the whole thing. You could take out the middle as it didn't matter. You could just make a sentence that said, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, i.e. helps him stop sinning, then he will cover a multitude of sins. If you stop someone from sinning, you'll stop them from sinning. No, that's a circular argument. That would be something he can't mean. He's talking about that. He's got to have something more in mind. If you turn someone from sin, you will cover a multitude of sins. Wandering from the truth, then. We've seen the idea of truth in James a couple times. One was in the theme verse of James, right when we started. Chapter 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. He's talking about the actual amazing gift that we have in Jesus. And he said this. He said, of his own will, God's own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That word of truth, that's how we're saved. That's the gift of Jesus, the good news. Jesus died for you and it worked, right? We're there. We're like, yeah. We try and say it a bunch of ways to get it clearly in our hearts. He paid for me and it worked. In a very real sense, this word is the truth. Jesus is the word. We've seen that in other places. John 1. John 1:17, for example, says the law was given through Moses. And grace and truth through Jesus Christ. That's the frame of life. Law, fabulous and good, to gospel, grace and truth. The truth that you didn't make it, that the law accuses you, but there's a way. You see, there's a hope by trusting, and that's faith. And James has been about faith. That's what he's talking about. Or in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Look, James says, speaking to his brothers and sisters in Jesus, we can wander from that truth. We can wander from holding to the gospel. If you don't think that's true, you need to maybe get out a little more in the Christian culture, because it's all over. People leaving the truth to talk about other things. The truth is still the truth, but you wander. There is a message that's a siren to our ears, a pull on our hearts. Instead of the word of truth to trust Jesus, it can become work on yourself. This is what James has been addressing his entire letter. This is it, you guys. My heart this morning is you'd remember James and the teaching. Remember how James started the very first chapter 1 of James? He just dove right in. You know, he said, your life doesn't go like you want. various trials and temptations, circumstances, your own sin, everything. It's like I look and I see kind of some disaster out there in my life. If I was just going to say, let's evaluate Dax's life. Please don't. It wouldn't be like, oh, wow, shining glory. It would be like, oh, there's a few good things. There's a ton of bad things. It doesn't seem to be getting better. James says, hey, in the midst of that, rejoice. Why? Because actually what's being revealed is you trust Jesus. You're not trusting yourself. That's faith, right? That's where he went. This huge gift, this total gift from the Father of lights. It never changes. He will never take it back. Jesus Christ died for you. It worked. He loves you. He forgives you. He's the one. And you say, there's that gift from God and where my hope is. I trust that. That's faith. And therefore, that's all there is. And so these hard things that happen, they're not like to James. He's like, you could even rejoice. I know it's going to be tough for you to do that. But you know what? The fact that you trust in Jesus in the midst of all of this brokenness. Oh! And then there in chapter 1, he said, never forget that. Look into the mirror that's the law. See what it shows you. You have no hope in yourself. Freedom is what Luther called extranos. Boy, that's a fancy Latin words. Just means outside of you. Your freedom is outside of you. Your salvation is outside of you. The love of Christ is outside of you. And it runs in and it rescues you. And your eyes are open. This amazing gift of faith. And there's James saying, this is the good news. The law rightly shows your failure. We know this. Shows our shortfalls, our flesh that can't get it together as hard as we try. So our only hope is in trusting the finished work of Jesus. We have to rely on his work and not ours, his love and not ours, his forgiveness, not our shaping up and seeing ourselves better and better. And this is the letter of James. This is the main fight because I want to find hope in myself. So do you. You know, a little improvement, a little advancement. I've worked hard. So in chapter 2, James gives his first example. And it's shocking. I mean, it should have been shocking as we went through. Sometimes we forget, you know. So it's shocking that James doesn't say, well, okay, watch out for murder and watch out for adultery and be careful not to covet. I'd understand all those things. They've been covered a lot in the Bible, the Ten Commandments. Instead, James says, you know what? You really ought not have any partiality. Seriously? You gonna nitpick, James? No, says James. This is very important and part of Christianity, isn't it? But I feel like I ought to treat people the same. In fact, we ought to especially love the least lovely, because that's the picture of God loving us. Instead, though, you know, we have favorites. We just do. I can tell you all day, you ought not. And James knows it. He's holding up the mirror. And we look at the mirror and say, oh, I shouldn't have any favorites. But I do, unless we're hypocrites. Say, oh, no, I don't have any favorites. I treat everybody the same. Not in your heart, you do not. You love your kids more. You love yourself more. We've been all through that. We just do. Our friends, our community, our people, those who'd say they don't, lying to themselves. So we who see it, we're humbled. Humbled. James knows what the pushback's going to be. So he goes right into what's most famous part of James. Remember? Christians should show their good works. Such the trap, right? Right back to the law. Because we want to say, okay, if I'm a Christian, then I'll have extra power, extra juice to do the law. I'll do the law like nobody else can. I'll do the law better than the Muslim or the Mormon or the whoever, atheist for sure. God has made me righteous. Me, myself, and I. Oof. No, that's not what James is saying, right? James goes a whole nother way. Faith is all there is. Trust in this amazing Jesus who did it all for you. Leaning on Him, you know. Because we don't accomplish measurably, visibly. Our trust is in Jesus. And part of that trust is that He will use us. He'll use us. His Spirit. So faith works. Not a call to action. Get to work, you lazy Christian. No, He's saying have confidence. Faith will most certainly produce. You can't get connected to the vine and not bear some stuff. You may not even see it, but it's there. Oh, the confidence that you can have. That trusting Jesus, which is all there is, will produce in you stuff that's amazing, which you might see and you might not. Why? Because God is real. And God has given Jesus. We have the assurance that our trust in God bears fruit. It changes us. We don't have to try and one-up each other. Outside the law, this comes. Outside, like Abraham, said James. Like Rahab, said James. Not about doing something like, well, there's just another way to do faith, like let go and let God, or surrender it, or you got to do something. No, just the reality that trusting Jesus does. Because the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. We keep our eyes on the word of truth, which is there's no hope in us. We continue to sin. You know, even one sin disqualifies us under the law. So we remain, we're pushed again. James does this over and over, right back to the cross. This is the big fight, you know, to stay humbled. James knows it, so he dives in, pushing at our self-righteousness in areas we think we're doing great to show us that our only hope is in forgiveness, not in improvement. There's James 3, right? Amazing passage on the tongue. Not one command to make it better. No hope there, just a clear and convincing statement that your tongue and my tongue, they are not what they should be. Sure, good things come out. So does garbage. That's disqualifying. Rudders guiding ships, bits guiding horses. We use our words to manipulate and deceive and set things on fire. And you're going to work on that? Good luck. I can hear James saying it. These things ought not to be, but they are. So what do you do? I'm broken. I see it. I see how I haven't said things quite right. I see how my heart manipulates and controls. I see it and say, my only hope is that I'm actually forgiven like God says I am in Christ. That's where the hope is, right? We have no hope in ourselves. We'll have no hope in our works. We'll have no hope in our sinlessness. We will trust in Jesus alone. It's so humbling. But I have to trust that faith does what Jesus wants it to do because that's the word of truth. That's what Jesus says. That's James. So he pushes us there in chapter 3, two paths. And remember, he pushes down this earthly wisdom that's there. It's earthly. It seems right. It's self-improvement. It's self-justification. It's not foolishness. It's stuff that says, yes, reasonably, I understand why you might think doing the law and coming back to the law and accomplishing law is something that's very good for you to do. You should do all of that and get it. And James called that demonic. Crazy for me. I don't understand. I'm like fully there. I've gotten plenty of kudos for the ways that I've worked hard in this world. I'm giving myself away in this world rather than receiving the gift of righteousness in Christ with no accounting whatsoever. My God who loves us. And that's what He's done. This is the peace that is the wisdom of Christ, that He's broken down every wall, that He invites us into the presence of God, not because of anything we've done, but because of what He has done for us all the way through. It's nothing for you to do. You're trusting it. We're so prone. And this is James, right? He's gone into this. We're prone to miss the whole problem. We really are. And I know right now, he said, Dax, I've kind of heard this and I'm getting a little lost. And okay, stop for a minute. I want to show you a really short video. My wife sent it to me last night. She doesn't know I'm playing it. So it's better than what I would do. It's about losing weight. Somebody wants to lose weight. It's quite short. Take a listen. Here it is. Oh.
For dinner, I have just a little bit of meat, some rice, broccoli, and that's it.
And I still can't lose weight. I don't know what to do.
I kind of started that bad. I want to play it one more time. So get the catch. Here
it
is.
For dinner, I have just a little bit of meat, some rice, broccoli, and that's it.
And I still can't lose weight. I don't know what to do.
We really think, you guys. This is what we do. We actually think that we're doing it. We're working on only eating the broccoli and the meat. We don't even see that we're holding a donut. We don't even see that in our lives, the things we do that are not right, that ruin it. Oh, we have to do, and so we're focused on the wrong things. Because I know what I look at that and I say, well, what they need to do is ditch the donut. And this is a funny clip. It's not even real. I'm sure they did it for clicks. But I'm telling you, well, the problem for us is I can't see the donut. I have no idea where God's working and doing. But I want to feel like I have control. I'm looking at the plate going, I can do all that. And I can get all my lines in a row. And I can do everything that's right. But I'm still holding a donut all the time. So what James has done is what he did was he started showing us the donut. He started showing us, you know what? You got no hope in any of this. You got to trust God who has you. You got to trust the one who sees. You got to trust the one who does. And so that's what he did, right? He does it again in James 4 where he kind of says, hey, there's a friend of the world. Think like the world. You put your succeed and strong and self-growing. And that's actually enmity with God. These things that we think we're doing so well. No, our only hope is Jesus for us. Amazing, actually. He points us back. If you remember James 4, he kind of like, but he gives more grace. Grace. The good news of Jesus for you. Not enablement to not sin. Whole other thing where he has taken care of your sin in forgiveness. Amazing. The program, right? The humility and the trust in Jesus flavors everything. And so to make sure and to keep at the hammer, we went through chapter 4 where James took these things that are, to me, very good things. I'm eating my vegetables and my little bit of chicken. And I'm being a good steward and I'm going to work on saving and not overspending and not overeating, all these things, retirement. And James says, whoa! You can't control a single thing. Or he says, remember in chapter 4 where he went after us for this idea of entrepreneurship, of actually saying, well, let's go. We're going to make a plan. We're going to make a plan to maximize impact and to attain the things that we're going to do. And we're going to go to this city. We're going to do some business. So we're going to try our best to get ahead. And here we go. And he says, what are you talking about? You don't even know what tomorrow will bring. It wasn't a slam on entrepreneurship. It was a slam on the spiritualization of it. It was a look again at, you think this is more righteous? You think anything you do in yourself is now awesome and more pleasing to God than the simple reality of trusting Jesus? Don't you dare. And so those things that we kind of treasure as good are the things that actually James shines a little flashlight in. Says, you know what, that's not so good. And especially this idea that we judge using God's great law. Why? Because we're under the law. We're not judges. And yet, all of us, me included, I'm constantly judging people. I'm constantly looking and say, wow, I wonder where they're at. I wonder if they're doing well. I wonder how I can get them better. Very presumptuous in all these things. Every work you and I, we want to present as a good job to God, pleasing to God. Very sinful, our thinking, our framing. We're holding a donut, thinking we're losing weight. This is the reality of James. But every life, every person who will just receive the forgiveness freely given of Jesus Christ, turn to Him. Oh, how lovely and useful in ways you can't even know, because that's life, says James. And so that leaves us with the last weeks, the final chapter, chapter 5. We saw that in the gospel according to James. That means patience. This is what Christianity, this is your Christian life. It's not, oh, maximization. It's not making sure you can advance the kingdom. Yeah, go for it, dude. Like, you got the way to do that? You think God's not using the people who aren't advancing the kingdom like you? The reality is patience and time. Patience and time. Why? Because I am in Christ. That's my faith. My faith, my trust says that Jesus paid it all and it worked. Jesus united me to Him. Jesus connected me to Him. Jesus is using me like He's using you if you trust Him. I have no idea. I cannot judge how He's using you. He may use you in the great success of whatever you're doing. He may use you in the failure and hardship of what you're doing. He may use you in community and joy. He may use you in loneliness and sadness. He uses you. What do I need? Patience. That means waiting and time. That was James. Amazing. Different way to think. I'm just kind of waiting because Jesus is doing things. I'm on the raft. He's the river. It's getting me where I'm supposed to go. The other thing this trust in Jesus does, we looked at the last couple of weeks. Trusting Jesus means we're about transparency. Above all the truth, we don't need to hide. What is there to hide? I am, and I'm free in Christ by this amazing gospel message. So I'm actually willing to just be open about who I am, not have to like manipulate and make sure you don't see how bad I am back here. You know, I'm really doing good. I'm following Jesus, the Jesus way, loving people with great abandon, while I fret and mourn sin. Instead of the reality that now we know that James has pushed us to of saying it's all just trusting Jesus for all of it. And so I don't know how he's using even the things I don't do well. Be yourself, you know, and that incredibly frees you up to be authentic and real. Incredible. That's allows people to pray for you. That allows healing to come. The healing of a weary and weak soul who says, I'm not even sure I can trust. Yet people who say, yeah, Jesus paid it all for you. The forgiveness is real. You're so accepted in Christ because He did it all. That's James. The answer isn't improvement, but forgiveness. The real life that's given as a gift from Jesus. So here we are. The very end. This is the message. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, wandering from the truth is wandering back into using Jesus' juice to improve yourself, to get back under the law, to judge, to call your actions righteous and judge other people. That happens in person after person, in church after church. We wander into self-oriented projects. It's still true that Jesus paid it all for me. But I'm much more pulled to personal sanctification, to growth in holiness, to the Jesus way. But it's a hope that's based on me making the right choices. You'll get caught in this. Other people you know will get caught in this. Don't be surprised. The horrible sin, and this is horrible sin, and it's in the water of who we are. It looks like good advice. And the end of the road is someone who doesn't really understand the gospel. But think about that. If it were possible, oh dear, dear brother, oh amazing sister, if it were possible that you might be used by God to open again someone's eyes, to ground them again in the wonder of the gospel, to bring the forgiveness of Christ in. How amazing! Yeah, that's what he's saying. Right? You're used to restore. Whoever, it says, let him know. The person, the person who's wandering, and the person who receives and says, this is what the amazing work of Christ in you is. It's to together come around the gospel, to come around the cross. Whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering, from wandering into self-righteousness again, from wandering away to the simple trust in Jesus, will save his soul from death. Yeah, this is the death that happens, right? Self-righteousness is killer and covers a multitude of sins. A multitude of sins because trusting in Jesus, simple faith, is what takes care of all of our sin. The multitude. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. It is the truth. The gospel is the way, the truth, and the life. The only life we'll ever have is right here. To think you might be used by God in the grace of the gospel to save a soul from their wandering. And you get the picture, right, that we read from Luke 15 of God who leaves the people who are doing fine and he runs after because it's such amazing heart of God to get the lost. And the lost isn't who you think they are. The lost is the Pharisee. The lost is the wanderer away from the simple trust that Jesus has you. The wanderer is ourselves who are so pulled towards self-improvement. And if you get the truth and you put your trust in Christ alone, you do know sin in a very real sense doesn't matter. Don't take that the wrong way. Sin, though, has been paid for. The stuff you did, the stuff you're doing, the stuff you will do. Jesus paid for all of it. Not a call to go do more, but it's the truth. Christianity is not about your sin. It's about trusting Jesus paid for it. If you trust in Jesus, you're humbled. You say, have mercy on me, God, a sinner. That sin is covered at the mercy seat. That's Luke 18. Go read it. It's amazing. Remember, please, James is talking about the church all the way through. He's talking to you with strong language and convincing prose and pushing us back to the cross. And the end of it's because we need each other. We need the reminder. When you're weak, I am strong. When I'm weak, you push me to Christ. So today, seemingly not improving, suffering, life not going great, you're not some incredible ministry person. Just your hope is in Jesus. Realize this. This is James's final words to you. This is his benediction. You are useful. Not maximizing a single thing. Just encouraging because you're holding to the real truth. Jesus Christ paid it all and it worked. Simple trust for heaven and for here, no matter what may come. You are loved and holy and in his family by the gift of Jesus given by the Father of lights in whom there's no shadow of turning. Let that ruminate. Because by encouraging someone else and Jesus paid it all and them embracing that, you're covering every single sin they've ever done, a multitude of sin. And if you're used by the Spirit to help someone, trust in the only one who forgives everything. Wow! Don't worry. I don't see that happening, Dax. You can't even see it. You may not even know. Patience and time, says James. Hold on. Jesus is for us forever. This is James. You put it in your pocket. You say, I just know the truth. I've got it. Jesus Christ for me. He uses me. My faith will work because that's God in me. And he says I'm useful. And he's right. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for this end of James and what you've done in this book. And I pray that our people here, that your kids that are in this church might have confidence, might stand knowing, might be grounded and rooted in the wonder that simple trust is everything. Thank you for what you've done for us. Help us never to move from it. And Lord, we ask that you would protect us from those who would twist your word away from the good news of the gospel. Help us to stand and help each other to remain in this amazing message. It's in your precious name we pray.